Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This is the moment to not be going to the grocery store, not going to the pharmacy, but doing everything you can to keep your family and your friends safe. And that means everybody doing the 6 feet distancing, washing your hands.
All right, that's Dr. Deborah Brixit. She's at the White House each and every day when they do the updates, the daily updates, I say, on the coronavirus and what's happening in the United States and what's being done and where the hot spots are and everything related to the economy and everything in between. I think sage advice, you don't need to take an extra stroll around the grocery store, go to the pharmacy in the next 2 weeks, especially if you're in Louisiana or New York or one of the areas where it's gotten really spiky and we're seeing more cases. Michigan would certainly be one of those too. Where are we now in the U.S.? Total cases 336,830. New cases 157. Total deaths 9,620. So two more added since the 45 minutes that I've been on the air. Now, total recovered 17,977. Active cases 309,235. I know there's a lot of numbers, and we're doing numbers next, but I want to put this out at the top because, yes, there are bleak numbers, awful numbers. I hate one loss of life to this, but we need to know that to be diligent and pay attention and not think we're invincible, like we're part of the Avengers crew, but also to realize, yes, thank goodness there are people recovering. There are people who have had it, gone through it, and they're making it. There are people that are walking out of hospitals too as well, but it's really, really rough, and not just here in the United States, but, of course, across the world, too. So the number of cases is well over 1,274,277. And deaths total, and this is changing, but it's 69,473. So, and then recovered 264,000 plus. So the positive numbers are obviously the people who have recovered. Famous people have gotten it. George Stephanopoulos' wife, comedian Ali Wentworth, has it, said it was the worst thing that she has ever felt in her life. No matter what your politics are, right of right, left of left, somewhere in between, don't even care about politics at this point, just people that have gotten it. Chris Cuomo revealed that he had COVID-19 and talked about it. I think he gave one of the best descriptions of what it's like. He talked about taking his temperature, and he talked about being quarantined from his three kids, of course, and that he was having these nightmares and the sweats, that he would just be soaked at night. And a lot of people talk about that, the fact that you're just soaking wet and shaking and that whole thing that that happens, that's part of this. And there are different symptoms for different people. There are great stories of so many in the U.S. that are reaching out to people in their neighborhoods and beyond their neighborhoods, making masks, because now the shortage of PPE, we know, is so critical. And one of the things is the masks, the N95s, and what's happening in healthcare and shortages of just anything that you can imagine that they need, meaning the people on the front lines that are trying to save so many, and then, of course, losing their own lives in many, many cases, which is really tough to hear about all that. So the bottom line is getting a mask is tough, but there's ways to make a mask, and there's so many ways to do that. I'll post some of them on a Facebook page. We have Kate Delaney fan page. But it's easy to do that if you don't have a mask. And now the thought is, wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart, because this is part of the whole social distancing thing, because of liquid droplets from sneezes, coughs, and just even exhaling can, they're saying, can travel more than 26 feet and linger in the air for minutes. So that's frightening, because it's one thing, distancing 3 to 6 feet. It's another thing when we talk about, oh, yeah, what about sneezes? What about all that other things that can happen? And in a video, they released a video showing what the CDC had one showing that what it would look like, the cloud that you would see. And, of course, it would depend on the person. It would depend on, was their head all the way back? There's so many factors that go into measuring how far. But needless to say, we do know when someone coughs, they can spray the droplets and what a sneeze could yield. And we know there's risks in that. That's why masks were worn in the first place. So we know. Masks, wear a mask. That is the idea, that if you've got a mask on, you can protect yourself. Isn't it interesting? Because before it's like, oh, don't wear a mask. Now, wear a mask. Luckily for me, when everything started and I got sick in San Diego, not thinking it was COVID, and who knows, my doctor says some of the symptoms I have suggest it, but until there's a test for that, I wouldn't know that. Bottom line is when that happened, I ordered a couple of masks because of it, and it took a long time to get here, but I have those masks. And I know people are putting together all kinds of ways to deal with that, but for goodness sake, if you know, Fauci and the rest of that crew, who is the lead guy that I trust coming out of this whole thing, is saying wear a mask, then wear a mask if you go outside. And I agree with Brexit. Why tempt fate, especially in some of those hot zone areas? Why tempt fate to go to a grocery store? Why tempt fate to go through a drive-thru or go to a pharmacy, unless you absolutely had to, unless it was an incredible emergency? Otherwise, stay home. Stay home. We say it all the time. Stay home. Stay home. Because this is supposed to be the worst of the worst. The president's warning it. Everybody that's close to this is saying it on the front lines. Brace for a difficult week ahead. I mean, here's what all I had to see. And there are all different kinds of headlines, and there are all kinds of different ways people are trying to give us an analogy of what this will be like, the unknown. And what we've been warned of is a Pearl Harbor moment. The president says, brace for the peak for some parts of the nation. So, you know, steel yourself. Get ready for an agonizing week for many, many people in many parts of this country. And it's very sad news because of what we'll probably see coming out of New York, New Jersey, Louisiana. The projections are bleak, although there may be a light at the end of the tunnel. And, of course, that's what we're looking for. If there ever was a cliche that I wanted to embrace, light at the end of the tunnel is perhaps my favorite. And I can't wait to see that light at the end of the tunnel. I can only imagine some of you feel the same way. All right, coming up on the flip side, we can count.
Stay at home. Public health concerns. The reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses. Your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is anti- antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around a dollar a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Attention all radio listeners who still need food supplies. If you've thought about the implication of food-related supply chain disruptions and are concerned about the coming quarantines, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. In the next few days, all Americans will face extremely hard choices. If we've learned anything from China and Italy, it's that quarantines and enforced lockdowns are just a few days away here in the U.S. Listen, while dehydrated food is becoming scarce, you can still get enough open pollinated heirloom seeds to grow a one-acre crisis garden. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables in the days ahead may actually be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand the nature of the threat. This could be life-saving. Lockdowns can last from 6 to 8 weeks. Get free bonus seeds. Special quarantine reports, too. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
We can. Let's talk about a couple of things with numbers in them. Everything has numbers in them. I say that all the time. I saw a really interesting list about the 100 things that you could do while you're inside because of this pandemic. So what can we do inside? Of course, watch TV. Are you shocked by that? Watch a series, binge watch Netflix or whatever else you're streaming. I thought this one was interesting. Download Duolingo. Or some other kind of app and teach yourself a foreign language. You know how hard it is to do that? I'm just saying. You have to really invest the time in it. Oh, yeah, we have time. That's right. Okay, here's something else that has been suggested on this list that I found. You could learn calligraphy, and YouTube can help you because, of course, just ask YouTube, how can I do calligraphy? And they'll show you. Some video will pop up. But that could be kind of a cool thing, I think, the calligraphy thing. This is a good idea because, of course, again, it goes to watching movies. What movies haven't you seen? Watch the movies that won Oscars for Best Picture. Just go backwards and pick out the ones you think you would like. And then how about this one? Tom Hanks recovered from the coronavirus. You could watch the Tom Hanks movies chronologically. I'm a big Tom Hanks fan, and we watched Big, and we watched, now I can't even think of the movie we watched of Tom Hanks. Oh, Forrest Gump. Last week, we actually did watch two Tom Hanks movies, uplifting, light movies. He has some heavy movies, too, but we watched both of those. All right, how about this? I'm just going to give you one of these. Make a list of things you're grateful for. Everybody always tells you to do that. Make a list of things you're grateful for. That I get to stay inside and practice social distancing while everybody inside gets on my nerves. People are starting to complain about that. All right, states are complaining about dire ventilator shortages. The president not happy with this, disagreeing, saying it's ridiculous because some states have more ventilators than they need. They don't want to admit it. They'll admit it when everything's over, but that doesn't help us. And, of course, what the problem is planning for what you think is going to be the curve, right, and where you're currently at. So Louisiana governor, our good friends there, John Bel Edwards, has said his state is expected to exhaust its supply of ventilators by April 6th. Tick-tock, that's now. Louisiana has received some ventilators from the national stockpile, but he says he needs thousands more. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has estimated his state will need as many as 30,000 ventilators and could start facing shortages by the middle of next week, because this is supposed to be D-Day for them. I shouldn't say D-Day. This is supposed to be the major attack where so many people go down, and already they've had that, but even worse. So this is the problem. The overarching need, because you're looking statistically at what's going to happen and how quickly could you get those ventilators, because the ventilators save lives. So it creates this tension between the governors and the Trump administration as they struggle with the in-between, because what if I'm the governor of the other state and I need the ventilators and I'm having that spike faster? And you can obviously see. I just hope that nobody in your world needs a ventilator and can't get one because you fall into that in-between spot. And there are things that are being done to try to smooth that out. I think the need is just so incredibly great. The president has said the U.S. would produce 100,000 ventilators in 100 days. He said that last week, that 11 companies were behind the effort. And GM and Ford have said they're going to manufacture ventilators, but I don't know who the other companies are. I know they say they're going to do it. Now, the coronavirus crisis, for everybody listening, to give you some more news, is projected to really peak by the middle of April, when nearly 32,000 ventilators are going to be needed to address the outbreak. And this is data that they're looking at, and of course, we don't know. Nothing is for sure. But the thing about the ventilator and what happens when some of these people survive is that ventilator tube prevents the organ failure and the severe lung damage. I mean, it allows them to breathe. We obviously know what a ventilator is, and has allowed people to live. And we know when that's the only chance, that's, of course, where this all sets in. So, you know, getting those is critical. And, of course, then there is the answer to the question, why is there a shortage? So the Strategic National Stockpile, which is managed by the Department of Health and Human Services, has secretly located warehouses across the U.S. that have the emergency medical supplies. Former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson, who served as the health secretary under former President George W. Bush and oversaw the response to outbreaks like, remember SARS, remember anthrax, oof, that was bad, said the number of warehouses was expanded from 12 to 12 from 8 after the 9/11 attacks. And he said he offered a federal plan for preparations for a pandemic before he left office, but Congress didn't appropriate the funding to replenish the depleted stockpiles over the years. He said they were maintained. He did an interview with one of the newspapers. He said they were maintained, but they weren't expanded. And that's the problem. So now there's an argument over that and the stockpiles, and where's that headed? In the sports world, it's a whole different ball game. It's hurry up and wait. What's going to happen? I don't know. Do you think we're going to actually have the NFL? Is there going to be a delay in the NFL? The owners say they want to go forward, but they don't know. And the president said, we need people back in arenas, but how can you have people back in stadiums, it would be, for the NFL, until this beast is behind us? And will it be behind us for more than a couple of months, or does it come back, and does it come back in the same way? Good for Colts owner Jim Irsay. He donated 100. He donated 10,000 N95 masks, and there are a lot of people that are trying to move mountains to make that happen, so good on them for doing that, making those phone calls and getting them there as quick as they can. Tom Dempsey, I heard about him when I was a kid because he was a record setter. At 73, he died of the coronavirus. He had the NFL record for longest kick that wasn't eclipsed until 2013. He was an interesting guy. He was 73, and he lived in New Orleans at a senior center, and sadly, that's where he perished. But he was battling Alzheimer's disease and dementia. His condition worsened because residents in the center he was, they were there in quarantine and all of that. But the family did video chats with him. That's the good news. And Tom Dempsey was someone who made news in 1970. He connected on that record setter, the 63-yard field goal that gave the Saints a victory over the Lions. Many of you Saint fans will remember that. And it wasn't equaled until 1998, and it wasn't surpassed until Broncos kicker Matt Prater booted a 64-yarder in Denver in 2013. He was born without toes on his right foot, which he kicked with, and was missing part of his right hand, but he had an 11-year season, starting with the Saints in 1969, then the Eagles, Rams, Oilers, and Bills. So I remember him. I remember talking about him with my grandfather, and I remember him describing to me about some of his kicks and, what he was like and, that kind of thing, and how many times he was on the tube all the time because he had such a good sense of humor. So he was always one of those guests on a lot of the sports shows. All right, moving to more numbers of a different sort just quickly here. I mentioned this, that Zoom, the technology app that you can click on and, you click a link, someone sends you a link, and you can do that thing where you can see them or you can do the voice thing. Well, I guess there's a silver lining for them for this video conferencing thing. The demand for the product is up. Millions of Americans are staying home and doing it. But they get these uninvited guests. They call them the Zoom bomb, online gatherings, where it's a big problem. The FBI is on the case. Zoom had to update its software to prevent it from sending data from iOS devices users to Facebook, which was allowing them to hijack a Zoom user's computer. Yikes! Stay with us.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
At the daily coronavirus task force briefing, President Trump says, hang on, help is on the way.
My administration is rapidly implementing the largest emergency economic relief package in American history. You've seen what's been happening. Billions of dollars in small business loans have already been processed through Paycheck Protection Program. So we went out on Friday, and literally it's become so popular. It's been worked with the banks. They get it to the small business. It's all about employment. It's all about jobs. We want you to keep your jobs. Give small business funding to keep the workers on the payroll. And we're sending direct cash payments to millions of Americans and rushing aid to the hardest hit industries. We're saving industries. We will be, you'll be seeing it.
This is USA Radio News.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS and you cannot afford to make payments to the IRS, you may qualify for the CNC tax program. This is a new program, and if you qualify, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Once you're accepted into this program, the IRS is forced to stop all harassing collection activities. No threatening phone calls, no wage garnishments, no bank levies, and no more monthly payments to the IRS. Get ready to write this number down. It's the most important number you'll ever need to end your IRS tax nightmare. Call Paramount Tax Relief at 800-547-4804 for a free confidential consultation to find out if you qualify for the CNC tax program. Once you are accepted into the CNC tax program, you won't make any payments to the IRS while in this program. Call Paramount Tax Relief now at 800-547-4804. That's 800-547-4804. Again, 800-547-4804.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Distancing and in the middle of a pandemic where we have no idea when we're really going to be able to circulate again. So she's in our virtual red room. We made it red just for her. And I'm talking about Maria Romano. She is the founder of True Love Knots. She designed the program specifically to help those looking for love later in life. She's an ordained minister and a highly sought after speaker as well. So, Maria, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Hi, how are you? And I love that opening. Woo!
That's right, Love Shack. But there's no new Love Shacks going on, because what do you do when all of a sudden, I mean, you know, you're, people are out there now, younger people and older people, where you're swiping left or right and all that kind of stuff. And so we've got different scenarios of speed dating, but you're not going to go meet for dinner or coffee or breakfast or any of that, because we aren't doing that. You know, we're sheltering in place. So what are your suggestions to continue to be out there or put yourself out there?
Well, what I first start off with is, you know, remember, the government is recommending that you practice social distancing, but it doesn't mean you have to be socially distant. And today, you don't have to put your dating life on pause, because you can utilize the internet to help you continue with your dating life.
Mm. All right, so don't don't put it on pause. Just figure out how to use a different tool, right? You could do face-to-face like Zoom or Skype or any of that.
Well, first, yes, but you really need to take the time to start off with and actually launch your profile and pictures on at least two different dating apps. And that's the first thing, because nobody's going to know you're out there, right, Kate, unless you're on an app.
Right,
that's
right.
That's the first thing. And that's a hurdle for some people, because some people are still a little resistant, they're afraid, they think they're going to be taken advantage of. And yes, that can happen to people, but if you have the right information, you're able to be very successful on those dating apps.
Well, I like that. Put yourself out there, get the stuff right. And, you know, I know people on both ends of the spectrum. I have a cousin who was younger and met the love of his life that way, and I have a great friend who is in her 70s. I swear she looks like she's 50. She met a fantastic guy. She's engaged, and she's going to get, you know, married. So it does work, but you have to put yourself out there, right, no matter what the situation.
You know, and with this, what's happening today, you know, with COVID-19, you have people questioning, like, gosh, you know, I don't want to be alone anymore. I do want to find love. So you're going to have this big push where people are actually going to start stepping out of their comfort zone and take that chance. Because some people, again, they're resistant. But, yes, by using those apps, they're so important. When I started as a minister 10 years ago and I started marrying people, I asked, what's your love story? And they would look down at their feet, look up at me and say, don't tell anybody we met on a dating app. And right. And now what's happening is when you meet them, oh, we met on Match. We went on OkCupid, whatever it is. So this is a lot more acceptable today. And people should be comfortable. And look what's happening today. We're now doing Zoom right all over and
yeah.
FaceTime and Skype. With what's going on.
Yeah, that's true. So what made you decide you're going to be an ordained minister and jump into the marrying game?
I was in the rent-a-car business for many years, and we sold our rent-a-car company, my late husband and I at the time. You know, we got out by the skin of our teeth right after that 2008 downfall, and I needed to do something, and I went to a wedding in Las Vegas at the country club there, and I saw a woman perform. I said, I can do this. So what I did is I got my license and through the county, and then I put together a mock wedding in my backyard. So I made a CD, put together a resume, and I practiced, and then I went out to all the chapels around town and dropped off my little press kit. And that's how I started.
So you got to take us back. What was the first ceremony you did? What was that like for you?
It was awful. We've gotten so much better. I forgot to tell everybody to sit down. It's the first one. I think I was so nervous. But, you know, when you go through and you do so many of them, you recognize that it's not – I think it's just like even public speaking, when you start with that, you're too busy worried about how you sound. It's really about being authentic. And nowadays, you know, I have people coming up and kissing me. So my ceremony has definitely evolved. But, you know, with that said, I – you know, I lost my husband, Frank, in 2012, and then I found myself in the dating arena, and I still am, but I haven't been actively, but I found out that there's a lot of people out there that really are lonely, and they don't know what to do, and they kind of need somebody to hold their hand. That's why I'm there, because I want to help them feel confident and be their coach, and so they can get out there and find love again.
Right. So for people listening, because here's what I think. You know, I'm reading these stories that, oh, more people are going to get divorced because now they're seeing things about their spouse and they're stuck together. But I also think when people come out of hibernation, because we will get through this, we're in it together. You and I both know that, and Maria. So once we come out of this, I think there's going to be people that are really going to really say, I'm going to be out there. I'm looking for love. And I think you're going to see more marriages. So if somebody's in that space right now, what can they do to get themselves ready?
Well, right now what they can do is, this is the perfect time, is they can work on who they are and what they're looking for in a partner. And that's the first thing that I always tell clients, is you need to take some time, some quiet time, and just examine who you are. Because most of us have led our lives, Kate, where we've worn different hats. We might be a mom, a dad, you know, we could be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it is. And now we have to take off our hats and we're looking at finding love again. So who we have to delve into who we actually are, and then think about what we're looking for in a relationship. And also, you have to take it one step further, is you need to make sure that you take the time to get rid of those residuals from your past relationships, because you don't need to carry that into your next relationship.
Oh, that's so good, because a lot of people do that. They carry over whatever it is, good, bad, judgment, whatever, the whole thing. So the more authentic, the more you can get rid of your baggage, the more you learn to love yourself, right? You have a better chance of attracting someone.
Well, right, and I have a three-part course that you can either buy it online, or I actually teach it through Zoom video. But, and I also go out and give people, you know, more or less like a Reader's Digest version. But you need to be yourself, and that's what we just said, love yourself. And then you need to put it all together and rock yourself. And it's almost as if you're reinventing yourself. You are inventing a brand, and that's what it's about. And that's what people, they're a little resistant, because when they're online, they don't necessarily want to write a profile about themselves. And this is what I tell them. It's just like a resume. You highlight the skill sets you have, and you highlight your accomplishments, and the same thing when you're writing your profile. And there's nothing, you're not bragging, you're just highlighting in very nice ways who you are, what you are, and what you're looking for.
Ooh, that's a good way to say that. All right, so tell us about one of the favorite weddings you performed, the favorite that you did so far.
Oh, well, okay. This is my favorite, and I use this a lot when I'm talking. 2 years ago, I performed a wedding over at the Silver Sky Chapel, which is known as the Link on the Strip. It was Valentine's Day.
Mm.
It was my last wedding of the day, and I think I did about 12 or 13 at the time.
Wow.
And this one just really resonates. And we had, it was a woman, and she was a cougar. She was 92 years old. 92.
Wow.
And her groom was 87.
That's great.
She walked down the aisle on a scooter, and he was in a walker. They met 8 months earlier at an assisted living, and they couldn't keep their hands off of each other. Could you imagine that?
Wow.
So love has no age limits, and that was my favorite.
Boy, no kidding.
Ceremony.
Boy, that's awesome. I love that story. All right, so if somebody wants to find you, they just need to go to truelovenots.com.
Yes, TrueLoveKnots, KNOTS.com. And I also, I have a True Love Knots YouTube channel where I put up a video that teaches you and tells you what to do now in the socially distanced society and how you can date. And I have a step-by-step video of what you can do to launch yourself, pictures, moving to talking to somebody, setting up a meet and greet on Zoom or whatever platform, and then having dates online. And it's fun. There's a lot of things you can do.
Wow, I love that. All right, so you can do a lot of different things. So don't be shy. Get out there and do it. Go check out that YouTube channel and get some more specifics on that. Maria, thanks so much for hanging with us. Great. So, you know, it's interesting in this whole social distancing dating thing, like we said, how do you do it? I mean, and she's got it. She's got it laid out for you. I think you get ready for it, too. That's why I asked that question, is some people might feel like they're not ready for it. So now's the time to take the leap. I always say take the leap and the net will find you. That's really the best way to do it. Just take the leap. All right, coming up on the show, a couple of things. One, as I mention all the time, the mailbag is so full, and you've had lots of comments about COVID-19, telling me about things you're doing in your neighborhood to lift up the neighborhood, what you're doing to fight boredom, what you're doing on the work front, because so many people now are working from home. We're headed there next. Meet you in the mailroom.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Excited I am to take all of you to Australia. Some of you may be listening in Australia. Eben Bukas joins us now, and he's written this great novel, Mask of Luca, and you will fall in love with this character. But he's such an interesting background. He's such a prolific writer. He's got a lot of other books out there. You look him up and you'll be blown away by the breadth of work. And he's a surgeon by profession. So this is a very talented man. Eben, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Chris. Lovely to be here.
Let's talk specifically about the book. Why this book, and what is this book about? What can people expect when they snatch up the Mask of Luca?
Well, the book is a detective thriller, and I wanted to create a detective that is different from anything that's been before. You know, we've had Scandinavian crime, British, American, you name it. But we never really had a Arab detective working in that environment. And I lived there for, in Saudi, book set, for 2 years, working for the military, for the Saudi military. They have a big, big military hospital, very high in the mountains. It was 6,000 feet up. It used to snow in winter. You wouldn't think that in Saudi, but still. And it was a very abnormal life on the compound with the expats. And in that time and subsequent 5 years that I also worked in Kuwait City for the Kuwait military, and during the war, I learned a lot about the culture, but I also saw the way life was there for the expats, which was mainly British, Indian, American, South African. And I thought this is an incredible environment for a serial killer to operate, because everything is so secret there. You know, it's on that compound, all the vices are there. You name it, you know, illegal alcohol, prostitution, even drugs, you know, it's all swept under the carpet. And this would be, if a thing is not found out, if a sin isn't found out, it's not a sin. It's a strange concept, but that is how it works there, you know. So I wanted to, and I thought this is an incredible environment for a serial killer to operate in. And there had been some actual murders there, you know, and some of them have made it to the Western press. But anyway, this is a work of fiction set in that exotic environment at the time of 9/11. And just 2 months later, in November, it was actually the holy month of Ramadan that year. So I set the novel there, which makes things a lot more weird. And then I created this detective, and I've written two subsequent novels featuring him, called Riyad Ajmi. He's half Saudi and he's half French-Lebanese. And he's got a very interesting backstory. He was... her father was a diplomat, met the mother in Paris, who was an art student. He was the only offspring. Because the family traveled around from city to city so much, he was put in a very upmarket boarding school in Britain, and subsequently went to Cambridge University and got a degree in English literature. Now all this is important because it gave him a completely Western outlook on life. But he's still half Saudi, and he's the eldest son of this family. So he's forever torn between two worlds, you know, that he's the family demands his attention. He doesn't want to be there. He's essentially a Westerner. But then the parents divorced early on when the father decided he needs to take a second wife because of his status. The French Lebanese mother was never going to accept this. She's an actress and a TV personality in Beirut. She features prominently in his life. And he finds himself, you know, he lives separate from the family, and that's another story there. Why are they separated,
right?
The wife and the little daughter? But that's a large part of the novel. Eventually, readers will find out what has happened there.
Yes.
And this is while he's on that compound that he discovers this and investigates against great opposition from the authorities who want him out of there.
What an intriguing, don't tell us everything because you already have us on the edge of our seat. Even Bukas has written this book, but we're talking about Mask of Luca. And I mentioned that you were a surgeon, but then here you're this prolific writer. What's it like for you when you give birth to another book?
Oh, I love it. You know, I write for the sheer joy of it. And as I say, this is, I'm now busy with book number 10, I think. You know, and they're not all detective stories. I've written action thrillers. There's another one called Winter's Day, which is currently being developed into a film script with some interest from one of the streaming services in the USA. So, and that would be a completely different type of action-packed, you know, story. But at least four of my novels have been detective thrillers, three of them featuring this character, Riyad Ajmi. And I write, you know, it's a funny thing. My wife always says, when you start writing the story, where does the story go? And honestly, I don't know. I am as keen to read the story as the reader hopefully is. Because, you know, suddenly the story just takes you down a whole sidetrack that you never saw coming. And that's where the fun is.
Yeah, that's where the fun is. And that's, of course, what so many people will find by reading any of your books, but definitely by reading this one. And you like the character. What is it about the character?
Well, as I said, I had to create a character that would be acceptable to, you know, the Western reader. So, and he had to be an Arab. So I've made him, he's a very gentle person. He's not at all your tough detective. is very, you know, because of his degree in English literature, there's a, he's forever quoting bits from poetry or from other writers. He's a prolific reader. He's also a movie buff, so there'll be sort of, you know, quite a bit of pointers towards that. And he loves his little daughter. Now, you know, I don't want to do any spoilers there with the story, the complex situation between his wife. She's a gynecologist. She studied in Boston in the USA and in Houston. So they're a very cosmopolitan family, you know, but there's a lot of family issues there, which all the time while he's investigating whatever case he's on, there are these family issues that keep on demanding attention. And I, you know, isn't that like real life? That's, you know, all of us find that.
No, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And I said this now a couple of times throughout this, you know, even, but I didn't ask you about this. So what kind of surgeon are you? I think that's fascinating. Would be fascinating to know your background for the people listening.
I'm the old-fashioned general surgeon, you know, or as my, I've got three partners in practice here, as they call me, the dinosaur. You know, I come from a generation where we did everything. You know, these days I do 60% of my work is endoscopy, you know, colonoscopies, gastroscopy, and what flows from that. And then I do a lot of, keel, gallbladders, hernias, the lumps and bumps type. So it's general surgery, yeah.
Yeah, general surgery. That's funny. The dinosaur. I can't imagine that they call you the dinosaur. So what's next? I mean, look how many books you've written. I guarantee there's probably another one that's going to come out, right, eventually?
It's the strangest thing. You know, you'll be halfway through a book that you're enjoying very much, and another one starts creeping into your mind and starts demanding attention, you know, and you want to shoo it and make it go away. But it doesn't want to. But, you know, you discipline yourself. I finish what I'm doing. And then I said to my wife last year, I'm not going to write a book this year. I'm exhausted. And lo and behold, that sort of resolution lasted about 2 months, and I was into the next one because it demanded to come out.
I like that. It demanded to come out.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure we tell everyone they can pick up your book on Amazon, of course. Even Bukas is with us, and his book is called Mask of Luca. You can see so many of his other books there as well. Is there a website that you want to send people to?
Yeah, I've got a website. It's www.evenbukas. It's just one word, all small cost, .com. Yeah, that's it.
.com.
Even Bukas is, of course, all E's, E-B-E-N, and then B-E-U-K-E-S.
I was glad you spelled that out.
Yeah, you know, after 14 years at this hospital, they still can't get my name right.
That's terrible.
I've become used to it. You know.
That's right. E-B, what's going on, Dr. E-B? That's so funny. Even Bukas, thank you so much for joining us. What a delight to have you on.
Well, thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.